Why not kind of do the rolling intro here, as you said, like when you have to say here recording in progress, it's kind of hard to feel natural and just surreptitiously hit record. But we're talking about AEW being at the 2300 arena this week, and evidently they did not sell out. And a
Oh.
sellout is only 1,300 people, which is not a tall order, in my opinion. And evidently, pretty close at 1,175. Is that what you said?
Well, now, yeah, okay, so the
So they're
2300 arena.
a buck 25 short of capacity or so.
Yeah. Now, I'm seeing something else, though, on WrestleTix. Oh, never mind. That was last year. Never mind. Just never mind what I was about to say. So.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, they. Hey, welcome to Stunker in the Audio, everybody. That's Kevin. I'm Jeremy. So, anyways.
1,088.
Yes. Almost as much as the attendance last night. So. But this is. All right. So, this is the problem. AEW's pay-per-views sell well. There's no way around that. I mean, I know
Oh.
All In didn't, it didn't sell out the baseball stadium. Okay. They still had,
Yeah, but they still had a good crowd.
28,000. That's pretty good. Well,
Yeah.
it's still good, but it's also like, well, how much did it cost? So did the amount of tickets cover the cost and, to be successful? I mean, there's always that, right?
Yeah.
But still, you got 28,000. That's good, even though it's not, because third year in a row that the attendance is slashed. And yes, I know the other two were overseas, so whatever. But they
Yeah,
followed.
the attendance has still steadily declined.
Yeah, or stagnated. I mean. They
Yeah.
sold because they came to they had the Chicago residency after that, after All In. And it was 1,100 seats. And
Oh,
they
yeah.
didn't sell out all the shows. Like, what's going on? And then they go to,
Yeah, I mean, I haven't fully committed. I know that, and I think we've talked about this before because they just announced it not that long
Yeah.
ago that they're coming back to the Galaxy Con here at in Columbus. So again, they're not doing a large venue or even like because NXT hasn't come around here in a while. But when they were doing it, they were doing the amphitheater slash indoor
Yeah.
stadium called Kemba Live, which I admittedly like it probably wasn't a whole lot bigger than that, maybe 1,500, maybe 2,000 max. So, yeah, I mean, they're not even doing a venue like that, here, like they're
Yeah.
doing the convention center. It's I do think it's made for a better product. Still, just because the crowd, at least that is there, is into it.
Yeah, yes. Well, for the most part, certain
It,
things did kill that crowd last night. And we all know who it is. So, but I'm just trying to figure out how they can have, like, where do all these people come from that go to their pay-per-views? Now, I know not having one every month definitely helps. And again, Forbidden
Oh.
Door was overseas. So that was guaranteed it was going to sell a lot. Europe's hungry for any American wrestling they can get. That's just how it goes. But to come back after that, and you can't sell out 1,300 ticket, like in Philadelphia. And I guess this is the other problem. Like that Chicago one, they were selling out arenas in Chicago. And now they can't get 1,100 people. Then they come to Philadelphia, they can't get 1,300. Now, maybe some of the setup took tickets away, but it didn't seem like the setup was that big that it would take away that many.
They definitely had more, because I did notice that it felt like a more stripped down set, like the
Absolutely.
WWE had done it,
Yeah.
in certain venues. And yeah, because I mean, I actually kind of liked it, honestly, like both them and WWE. It's kind of funny how I've liked the stripped down set as much, if not probably more than the regular setups that they normally do.
Yeah, well, it's funny because they both were in this building. NXT was there. And NXT
Oh.
looked completely different. It was black. It's the usual darkness. And AEW's like, no, we're showing everything. It's going to be bright as hell, colorful, and we're going to have like a pseudo ECW stage, you know, that weirdness of coming around the corner. But,
Oh.
you know, but I get that's how the old ECW probably was. This is more organized. So
Oh.
more cameras, more money. But
Yeah. Well, that again, that will still keep them going.
yeah.
Attendance be damned. If they can get that TV money, they are not gonna have any problems.
No, well that's the only thing that's keeping them afloat. I can't imagine. Like they don't put out specific details of anything because they don't have to.
Oh,
But
right.
you know damn well, like, okay, so they had a $3 million gate. So how much is production? How much of that is going to pay? How, you know, catering, transport, like all this stuff. TV's the only way AEW's staying in business. And, you know, and I was like, a lot of people. The wrestling journalists are always about how TKO, no, I'm sorry, WWE, TKO is trying to make sure they don't get another TV deal. Well, it's almost as if you don't need to do anything. Did you see the ratings for this week's Dynamite?
I did not. You definitely pay more attention to those than I do.
I always look at them just to see because it matters. And I know they have HBO Max, but you're never going to get the right numbers from that, but it was like 553,000. That's it, and it was still good for I think second or third place.
And then that's the other thing that will keep
Yeah,
you. That's
that's
the other, like, because I mean, we've kind of talked about it, just in general, that viewership is down pretty much around everything. And yeah, I mean, if they're still second in their time slot, that will keep you getting paid by the TV networks.
which is just crazy, you know?
Yeah.
You're spending that much for 500,000 viewers. You know?
Yeah, the network wars are pretty wild. I mean, I think that's half a subtext to our shows here, honestly, that we could talk about more. I mean, in just because how many fingers are in really the WWE pot, honestly, at this point. And AEW is trying to do a similar thing because wasn't it floated about something with because and I don't feel like there I don't know if I've seen the official news about Max and AEW pay-per-views kind of having some
Yes, they're
or
expecting an announcement soon.
yeah so I mean
So
that's another thing that hey, if they do, you may not be able to prove the numbers, but or they might not release them. But again, like if Max thinks that that's the right thing to do, like that's, it's a win for them. I mean, we've kind of talked about it. Just a lot of people are. Because even the UFC is doing away with the pay-per-views when they move to
Paramount,
Paramount.
which again, how do you make that much money back? Like, you're not getting that many subscriptions. You're not going to get that. It's funny. This is where I'm getting this from, but I watched that Dallas Cowboys documentary on Netflix. And oh, Jerry Jones, I didn't realize how much of a influence he has on how the modern day NFL works. And basically, they're showing like their TV shows that are loss, what they call loss leaders. So basically, live sports is a loss leader that will lead into other avenues to make money. So they give them, like, say they give them $100. Well, they lose that $100 because they're not going to make it back, but they make it back in other areas because of the prestige of having the NFL. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, I guess that's what these streaming apps are doing. But everyone's different. But all right, would you get, like, I get Paramount free. But are you getting Paramount because you know you can see the UFC for free on it?
Oh no.
Yeah, that's why I don't, that's what,
No.
yeah.
I still have enough unwatched stuff on the apps that we do
Yeah.
have.
Yeah.
That it is not worth getting Paramount for like really any almost any reason.
Well, I mean, we're in that same boat with the ESPN. Well, you signed up for that ESPN one though, didn't you?
Well, after doing the math, I think I'm just gonna go ahead and sign because I am a Disney Plus subscriber. They are discounting the rate currently, and yeah, it's less than $100 to at least get it for the first year. When that price goes up, we will see if there is reconsideration
Yeah.
or not when that hits, because $35 a month and or more, because I think that's supposed to be the going rate. And I believe we're getting a $5 discount if we sign up. So I mean, yeah, it's probably worth it here to get it. So yeah, just because I mean, and we already did use getting Hulu commercial free is a nice perk, because Hulu with commercials absolutely sucks.
They're the worst ones.
Yeah, it is just awful. How they do it. Like, there are other, like Peacock, we kind of like how they distribute their commercials, honestly, within their programming. Hulu, it's just like they have no consideration for what's happening during that show. They'll just like cut it off for a commercial. It's just like, could you like at least tell their writers that there's supposed to be a break here? Like, it'll just feel more natural.
Yep.
Just
Well,
please and thank you.
did you get your
Right.
email from YouTube TV that we're not going to lose Fox programming?
Well, they're not going to,
They
so I
struck a
mean,
deal.
whatever.
It's like,
Yeah.
cool. I mean,
Yep. Shocking.
yeah, well,
You
yeah.
know, you're gonna carry one of the major networks, because you know if you don't, a lot of people will actually leave because a lot of the other cordless services have it. So,
Yeah.
you
I mean,
know.
I was going to, but I've got Sunday ticket, so I can't.
No.
But I also went, and I guess it's still in the vein of the conversation. If it wasn't for football, I wouldn't care if Fox went away. What am I gonna lose? What's this, The Masked
Oh.
Singer? I don't give a fuck. Or Fox
Yeah.
News? Don't care.
I don't, because I guess the Masked Singer, like we watched the first like couple of seasons or something like that, and it's just like, okay, yep, that's we've had enough. You know, we get the gimmick here. Have fun.
Yeah, it's like they overhype. Oh my God, is that Brad Pitt? Is the pumpkin with leather spikes? Is that George Clooney? Like, no. It never is. It's never gonna be. It's never gonna be a big name. It'll be someone you recognize, maybe. It's never gonna be a big name.
Yeah, they were always recognizable at a minimum to me.
Well, I saw one. I did see one.
Of course, I don't know how it's got, because wasn't Alexa Bliss on there at some point?
I think so.
You
Well, they
know,
had.
no offense to her, but I'm gonna assume that she is one of the lesser known people to
That's fair.
be on
But no,
there.
they had one. The person took the mask off and they were all like, and it was some YouTuber. They had no clue who it was. but they all had to fake that they knew who it was. It was so
Oh, and
sad. It
you
was
know
so
what?
sad.
That might be the other thing, is that because we watched the early seasons, they did have fairly big ish recognizable names, like I don't think it was Aretha Franklin, it was maybe it was Gladys Knight or something like that,
That's just sad. Really? Really? Oh,
Yeah, they had a
man.
couple of the famous there were a couple of famous singers and people like that where you could tell that they had done some training or whatever, or done
Yeah.
something, because no one was like, oh man, I never would have guessed that you had that skill, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yes. I do know, like, there was one with Mickey Rourke. And he just unmasked himself because he did it as a favor to one of his friends that was on the show or something. And I guess he didn't get eliminated, so he just eliminated himself by taking his mask off. And I saw the clip. They're like, "What's going on? Why did he do that?" And he just left. Like, yep.
Yeah, that
I'm gonna be on this
sounds
bullshit.
right up Mickey Rourke's
Yeah.
alley there.
Yeah, not exactly saying he had bigger and better things to go do, but 'cause boy, how did he fall off again? He was in Iron Man 3, no, 2, excuse me. He was in Iron Man 2. He got all that press for The Wrestler. I don't know anything he's done since. Not even being a dick about it. I sincerely don't know. It's
Yeah, I
so
am
weird.
unsure also. I
Yeah.
am unsure also.
But yeah, but to go back to the AEW, and it's like, you
Oh,
know,
yeah, crowd numbers ran us into the TV rabbit hole.
yeah, but it really does speak to like they're offering. I don't remember. I don't have it in front of me. Well, they're getting 250 million a year, or something like that,
Something in that neighborhood.
for a number three show. I mean, fair. It was number three that pulls in 585,000. And that's considered successful. That's worth 250 million. Like, it's crazy to me that, and I'm not even bagging them specifically. So I want to make sure that's clear.
It's all funny. Like it almost seems like funny money. What all these networks are shelling out for all these different things, whether it's I mean, it started with Apple TV paying some ludicrous amount of money to get all of the MLS coverage. Again, would I get that service if I weren't a season ticket holder? No, I would not.
Oh, there's ways you can get it for free. I'm getting it for free now. Basically, just go to Best Buy. They always run a special where you can get a 3 month or 6 month subscription for Apple TV. Once it runs out, just do it again. It's that simple. Yeah. So if you ever need it.
Okie
So,
dokie.
anyways, but
Do not, but good to know.
since we're talking about AEW, you liked the setup of the show. I didn't. And I guess I kind of started making the case before, like they just sold 18, almost 19,000 seats. They come here and you're in this dinky place, and it just felt embarrassing. Like I know Tony Khan wanted to go to this place and he wanted to do that, but it's like, man, remember they were doing arenas and it just keeps getting smaller and smaller. It's tough. I mean, it's really tough.
I mean, it's to me, it's more wild that because it wasn't something that completely sunk in. Like, Philadelphia is a massive city.
Yeah.
The fact that you can't get 1,300 there seems a little tough. A little tough. Or honestly, even a venue that's too small for them at this point. I know that because I mean I've kind of talked about it before. Columbus doesn't have a good like 4,000 seat venue that I can think of.
Yeah. I mean, WWE was just there
So
August 18th, and they were at the Wells Fargo Center, and they sold almost 13,000. 12,889. NXT was there, and they sold 1,665. For what? It doesn't say.
Boy, that better not have been for the Wells Fargo Center. That would have been rough.
Yeah, no, that's right. It was the Met. I'm sorry, they weren't at the arena. They're at the Met. So I take
Oh.
back what I said earlier. But yeah, and then they,
Well,
obviously.
evidently the Met has a larger well, but I mean Tony Khan, the guy is a sucker for certain eras
Yes.
of professional wrestling, and I'm not surprised that in some ways I appreciate that about Mr. Khan, that it's just like fuck it, this isn't all just to make the shareholders happy.
True.
You know, there's at least certain aspects of that, because I mean, I was thinking about that more as it pertains to music rights fees and things of that nature.
Right,
But
we'll get into music in a second. Ooh.
oh yes,
Oh boy.
because I feel like I should have read more about one of the stories, and I did not before we hit record here.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, but at the same time, they're not gonna pull in. Just think, they didn't sell out 1,300 people. They're not pulling more. So it's cool that he wants to be in this building and, long live his nostalgia or love for the blah, blah, blah. The simple fact is you aren't selling. And you just had almost 13,000 for WWE earlier. NXT outdrew you. And then, obviously WrestleMania was there last year and pulled in 145,000 people total. Yes, I understand people travel for this, but you're telling me you can't sell out the whole place. Something's wrong. Like, you're doing something wrong. Your product is suffering, I guess. I don't know. But people aren't interested. And that's a concern. I mean, that momentum from All In is gone. I mean,
Well, you mean the one 2 years ago now?
no, the one that, wait, or was that
Oh.
All Out?
What with Adam? You just mean the Adam Page win?
That momentum's gone. So, at least that's what it seems like to me. I mean, he beats Moxley, and Moxley's on TV more now than when he was champion. That's so weird.
That part has been really wild. He has really chewed up a
Yeah.
lot of TV time.
I guess they showed that him as champion helped ratings, I guess. Well, let's see the date on that. But
Well, yeah. I mean, there might have been more eyeballs on it. Your product still stunk on wheels.
yeah. And then, it got better and then he lost. Well, okay. But the shows have no rhythm to them. Like, there's nothing really going on. Again. So Moxley take like
Even after a pay-per-view.
yes, that's the big fallacy or the big, problem issue. This was the show after pay-per-view. And next to
I mean,
nothing happened.
we've talked
Again.
about it. They really take off that show after the pay-per-view. And I guess I think in general it hurts the product.
It does.
You know, like there are ways to have a geared down show, I guess, in a lot of ways, but still advance storylines. And they're not even really doing that part. It's just like, okay, yep, here's a lot of people playing or, you know, wrestling each other.
Yeah. It's
Okay.
like, just forget about Forbidden Door. We just use that to write off Osprey and Swerve. So Now we're back, and don't worry about it. Those two guys don't exist anymore. It's like, okay. Because, like, was they even mentioned that lights out match? Other than Osprey getting hurt?
Yeah, they did mention that both of them were going to be on the shelf, and at least Adam Page did give props to did he definitely gave props to Will Ospreay. Not quite sure if he said the same for Swerve,
Yeah.
honestly.
So it's like even something as simple as that. I mean, like the Hurt Syndicate finally showed up at the end. And, if you didn't see the pay-per-view, they didn't tell you what happened. So an MVP came out and hit Ricochet with the cane. I was like, why is he doing that? And then not the Bloodline fighting with the Hurt Syndicate. I was like, what's going on here? Why are we doing this? They never explained it.
Was the one thing that did carry over from Forbidden Door. And yeah, I don't know how many times I know that you and I talk about it, I think some, and I even think I talk about some with Chris. Like, their carry through is just so piss poor.
Yeah. And I don't get it. Like, you would have no idea that Moxley and the Death Riders took out Ospreay from the show. Like, there's no repercussions whatsoever. There's no, hey, I'm going to get you back. Nothing. There was nothing. In fact, the opening match, which was a hilarious, I rewound it and made her watch. Moxley comes out through the crowd, strutting, doing all this thing, hamming it up for the camera, acting like a badass, right? With his like cut off vest, and he's got Marina Shafir with him. And then you've got who, by the way, we don't talk about this. Wheeler Yuta's look is really cool. I really enjoy the way he looks. That moppy hair, the beard. I'm not saying I like him, but he looks different. And
He is hateable in a good way.
yeah. So,
The fuck you, Yuta chance. It's just like, oh, it's one of those. If you really don't want him, be quiet. Because if not, you are granting him approval and saying that he's doing a good job.
Yeah, whatever.
You
So,
know, no matter the contents of your message,
yeah.
you are doing him a favor.
But then Moxley has all this, all the accoutrement, all like the he's got like the swagger, all this stuff. And then who comes out? Dorky ass Daniel Garcia. He just walks out like, "Hey guys," and he starts doing his thrust, and I just start laughing. I was like, "Look at the dichotomy between these two. Look at the differences in what a star is and what Daniel Garcia is. I know we bag on Daniel Garcia a lot. All of it's deserved. Every single bit of it is deserved. We may, what did you call Michelle McCool?
Oh, the black hole of charisma.
Well, Michelle, sorry, Daniel Garcia is taking your gimmick now. I go back and watch. He walks out like, meep. All right, time to do my little dance. I'm gonna get in the ring. Like it's his first match. I'm like, what is this crap?
Yeah, he has gone backwards from where he was. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Not a great place to be. You do not want to regress.
I just. It was he came out. Remember he had like a little smug confidence to him or just something. What happened? He
He
came
kept
out.
on losing, is what happened.
Yeah, true.
And I mean, AEW has done him no favors.
Yes.
Like they treated him like a big deal and they just don't anymore.
No.
He wasn't a jobber, but oh man, he was close to it for this match.
Well, I mean, the match was back and forth. It was actually fine. If
Oh
you
yeah, it's
accept the
one
fact
of
Daniel Garcia wouldn't get his ass whipped in a heartbeat by Jon Moxley just off presentation alone. Like it's the old AEW booking. Gotta make sure everyone looks good. No, you don't. This skinny jobber needs to be treated like a skinny jobber. Seriously. We've done this before, but let's do it again. Did you see Daniel Garcia ever going to WWE?
Well, it was kind of funny that him and Starks were kind of up at the same time or within a similar time period. And Garcia decided to re-sign with AEW before Starks made a decision, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
And then
Starks was sidelined forever. So that was part of it.
There was that part too. But yeah, like there was that speculation that Garcia would have come over.
Seriously.
I don't know if he would have lived in the men's division in NXT.
Yeah, where?
Well, they're kind of the land of the giants at the current moment.
Yeah.
Really, it's like all things considered within NXT history, this is definitely one of the times the roster's been on the men's roster's been on the larger side, in general.
Yeah.
He would have looked out of place even there, I feel like.
Yes.
Because I mean, even Javon Evans, I've talked about him probably adding weight at some point because he's like 20 years old or wherever the fuck he is, 22. Dear Lord, it's still wild to think about that. So he's just gonna add some, I'm an adult weight at some juncture,
They
and
need to if he keeps wrestling like Spike Dudley. I thought that Chris's example was really spot on, so
he is pretty reckless with his body. That is for sure.
yeah, so but yeah, I just
But I mean, he's at least tall, and like you can kind of see it with Daniel Garcia. Like he's old enough at this point that it's just like, yeah, he's pretty much the size that he's gonna be.
yes. He's never gotten bigger. He's never gotten more cut. He's the same thing. And it's like nothing screams star. Never has. And it's not going to. It's not going to. I'm not asking him to like pump roids or do testosterone or any of that stuff. But God damn it, do something. It's a cosmetic business. And when you have no charisma at all, you got to do something.
I don't know why they have tied that albatross. It's like it's wild, the emotions I've gone through with Matt Menard and
Oh, I know. I know. Daddy magic.
I did because Chris brought it up, I think, when we were doing the show last week about he's like, oh, I never liked what were they in NXT
2.0. Or no.
2.0. Yeah.
No. Were they 2.0 there or were they 2.0 in AEW?
Oh, well, whatever.
I'll look it up. Go ahead.
Okay. But the point is, I mean, I remember liking it there. I kind of th it this transition started off okay. Like they were essentially doing the same thing in AEW, but they had a little more freedom there, which was fine to start things off. But boy, I just feel like that is something that Matt Menard to me is an albatross around Daniel Garcia's neck. And, like he almost needs to turn on him to try and get some type of forward momentum because he's just not going to with him around.
Yeah.
That's all to me what it comes down to. If Garcia really wants to get anywhere, like he literally needs to cut the dead weight.
Yeah, they were ever rise in NXT.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Enjoyed Ever-Rise in NXT
Yes.
and then 2 point and honestly the beginnings of 2.0, but Cool Hand Ange had had a child and that whole thing went to hell in a handbasket,
Yeah, they
so
brought him back for one match that he lost, and then he's been gone ever since. So,
yep.
this typical AEW, people disappear. But yeah, no, Matt Menard, I hate this version. I liked 2.0 and I liked Ever-Rise, but this stuff, him trying to be a tough guy, and it doesn't work. And yeah. I mean, it's like just anchor yourself to this dead weight too. It's like you got no charisma and you're attached to a guy who's got charisma, but is also just dead weight. Who signed apparently a 10-year deal or whatever they said.
Oh my
I was like,
gosh, I
what?
forgot that because I don't think we ever ended up talking about that. That he is now signed through 2030, if I'm not
Okay, that's what it
mistaken.
was. Yeah.
It's
So 5 years,
long
yeah.
enough, a 5 year, like I don't think his salary can be that high, but it's also like, why are you paying that guy for 5 years? Like, I don't, like, he doesn't. To me, he does not bring enough to the table to go, yeah, man, let's bring him back here.
It's I don't I didn't foresee a bidding war, but okay. And it's like I don't know, maybe he's doing something in Ring of Honor. By the way, that still exists. So, I don't know. But yeah, the match, everyone's like, oh, it was a really good match. I'm tired of the excuses for AEW saying, well, they have really good matches that mean fuck all. They don't mean anything until you get to an actual angle. Because like what was what like didn't they have they had a 10 man tag or something later? God damn.
I believe so, because
I know it was the Don Callis family because the crowd went quiet.
the oh, that's what 1, 2, 3, 8 man, eight
Okay.
man match.
Okay. Sorry.
Yes,
But
they.
just meaningless match as well. Absolutely meaningless.
Well, there were some people fighting other people in the near future, I want to
Sure.
say. Oh, yeah, because isn't it Hechicero and Josh Alexander taking on Brody King and Bandido?
Listen to what you just said.
Oh, no. You know what it is? It's Hechicero is taking on Bandido for the ROH Heavyweight Championship.
Like I said,
Again, honestly, to me, the most damning, they brought up the announcers unwittingly worked against themselves in this instance. They're like, oh man, the Don Callis family is great. They have one championship. They had literally just had the segment on when Mercedes Moné is nine belts
just I don't want to talk about that one.
and she's trying to go and beat the Ultimo Dragon's number of 10. Hey, you know what? There's finally a goal. I don't,
Oh, that's true. I'll
honestly,
give you that, yeah.
like, this is an improvement from whatever was happening before. Don't love it, but you're giving it a purpose, and I'm gonna give you points for
Go get somebody else's plastic toy belt championship for a league you've
that.
never heard of.
Definitely have talked about that part multiple times, so I'm just
Yeah.
gonna move along
Just
on that part of things. But yeah, oh my gosh. The Don Callis family is just something that I really don't get it. Like, no one's really presented well in
No.
it. Even Kyle Fletcher, the lone champion. I
Well,
mean,
is
I
Okada part
guess
of that
he.
family or not?
Oh yeah, he is.
I thought
But
it was just a
evidently
business relationship.
him and
Takeshita.
Takeshita have beef, and I do think that that's kind of carried over. But it's another one of those things that just, hey, it's another one of those, okay, I'm glad Tony Khan lets his people leave and do whatever they want to or whatever. And it's more open, but it hurt it actively hurts his product. Because yeah, I'd kind of forgot that it, like until we were talking about it, that Takeshita and Okada have had beef before this, if I'm not mistaken. But because it got broken up with Takeshita, like, hey guys, I'm gonna go and leave for 2 months and do the G1. It's just like,
We're not going to tell you. He's just going to go. And
oh yeah, like it is one of those things where you could talk about it more if you want to keep him on TV, quote unquote. You can talk about his progress in the G1, especially since the guy won it, evidently.
Oh, he did?
It's just. Yeah,
Oh,
they did
I didn't
mention
know that.
that part during the broadcast, and it's just like, well, then why the so yeah, he's gonna take on Zack Sabre Jr. at some point. But it's
Oh, okay.
just like, yeah, I mean, if he has to go back to New Japan, like, are you Tony Khan really gonna push him in the meantime? No, like, and that's the other weird part. Like, you kind of have one of your few at least mid-card talents, maybe main event talents. And he's just kind of taken off every now and again. Like, they don't have the depth to absorb that problem.
Well, in the Don Callis family, they do. Remember, you have Hetchicero and Josh Alexander, and Brian Cage was injured, unfortunately. Lance Archer made an appearance.
Oh,
There was a
yep.
guy with him too. Oh, hey everyone, Wardlow's back. Not that the announcers mentioned it. They were like, "Oh yeah, that is Wardlow you see behind him." Okay, so on to everything else. You
All
brought Wardlow back after all this time to yet again be a bodyguard character. Why bring him back? It made no sense. And then to be treated like this, what's the point? No one, no, you said it, and we've said it before. No one in the Don Callis family is over more than they should be. And in fact, like, if Kyle Fletcher
Oh,
broke
yeah.
off, maybe he'd get more of a rub by being by himself. Takeshita, probably the same. Everyone else is just like, whatever. Okada's doing his thing. He's just like,
Oh.
just pay me. Just pay me. I'll have one good match with Kenny next year, and then I'll just fuck off the rest of the time. Get this
The Don Callis
motherfucker off
family
TV. God.
is just something of a disaster. Like, it's not a black hole because I don't feel like they're any worse off, but it's just a bunch of nobodies. I don't know a better word to use, honestly, in this instance.
Yes, Hetchicero's a
Because,
nobody. Josh Alexander is a nobody. Which is
yeah.
sad because they weren't when they got brought in. Wardlow is a nobody. Lance Archer, I think I said him already, but they're all
Yeah.
nobodies. And it's because you got that dumbass music that just kills the crowd, and then Don Callis introducing everybody. Why is he on TV? This is the other thing. He may be special behind the scenes. He may have great ideas a good agent, producer, whatever, sounding board, whatever. Outside of that there is no appeal whatsoever. It is not, I want to see this guy get beat up heat. It is get the fuck off TV heat. Enough of this. It's not going to change, mind you, but
Oh, right. Yeah,
he needs to go. Plain and simple.
that is the worst part, is that yeah, he's kind of like Jericho. It's just like, dude, just it's the gig is up. Just
Yeah.
yeah, just pack up the tent and be gone. Like you're not actively helping anyone.
No, but Tony Khan has no problem with it. Keeps throwing him on TV. So, there's the issue.
It's more mysterious than Triple H hanging on to Paul Ellering, like for his life for whatever reason.
That was a weird. So, but so anyways, that was what. Who was the good guy? Was that Jetspeed?
Yes.
And then Hangman?
Br
No.
uh Brody King and Bandido.
That's right.
So Br
I like
Brodito
Brodito, so I
was
had no problem with them.
yeah.
Jetspeed's just Kevin Knight, again, a guy that gets signed and like, we don't know what to do. Here's Speedball Bailey. We don't know what to do. Just put them together. There we go. All right, next.
Hey,
Like,
I mean, their tag team division needs help, so I mean, I don't really completely blame them, but it does seem like it's more of a function of them not knowing what the fuck to do with either of them.
yeah. I mean, what do you do with Mike Speedball Bailey anyways? I guess, you know what? Have him go after Kyle Fletcher. Have him and Daniel Garcia have some great
Yeah,
matches.
he could definitely be the middle of the pack guy. Champion kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't know why it's Speedballs rubs me the wrong way now. Maybe it's Chris's influence rubbing off too. But he is a dork. He's a karate nerd. And I'm not saying people who do karate are nerds. Because people who do karate can fuck you up. I
Right.
don't think for one second he can mess you up. Nope. He does that stupid jumping kick thing. And I was like, just push him over. There. There goes your stupid, like, yeah. So, anyways, I didn't enjoy the main event, though.
You know what, you kind of brought up the music, the Don Callis family music, killing things for you.
Stupid
There
Dallas
was
family.
a moment before all of that went down, well
Yes.
before that, because
We were talking about Wheeler, yes.
yeah, we were talking about Wheeler and it got a little off track there. Because A, I thought Wheeler here was gone, and then we were
Yeah.
done with the Death Riders. He pops back up on my TV after the commercial break,
Yeah.
starts bitching again, and yeah, evidently Hook, they gave him Def Rebel, I would say, entrance music. Like, what the fuck? And I think I that was the story I was talking about that I kind of wanted to look into more, in some ways, because it was just like someone was saying, oh yeah, they were choosing to move on from Action Bronson's theme music since January. And I'm like, and I was like, oh, I don't know, is this, I was intrigued. Like, I think I might have seen the headline before I heard the music. And then I heard the music and I'm like, what the fuck are they doing here?
Okay, so the new song is called So Tell the Girls That I'm Back in Town by Swedish songwriter JJ Johansson. And for, according to Google AI, it's because the music rights expired, and I guess there's tension between Bronson and AEW. So. This
Yep.
song
Ter it's
stinks.
terrible.
It stinks.
It is as
And
bad as anything Def Rebel has put out.
I'm trying to find. I'm trying to find. Wait, what did I say the song was called? Damn it.
I don't know. I mean, you just had it right in front of you. How'd you
Yeah.
lose it already?
I don't know.
Tell
I think I. Yeah, I messed up. That's why. I don't give a shit. Tell the girls I'm back in town or something.
okay, yeah.
Yeah. This guy's been around since. Oh, I thought it said 66. All right, no. Sorry, I was like, what?
Whoa.
1997. Okay. Now I know there's a big world of
Sure.
music out there. How the fuck do you find this? You know?
From professional wrestling theme songs. In also tragic music news, I can't believe the WWE broke the mold and used the real band, and then somehow the song sucked even more than the last one. Becky Lynch.
Oh, that song stinks bad.
Because I know
It
that the Wonder Years is a known band, but it's just like, what the fuck, man? You guys seem to put no effort into this song, and it just doesn't have anything close to a hook to it to me.
Yeah, that's I was listening to So Tell the Girls I'm Back in Town. It's awful. It's awful. But no,
Yeah,
but
it
you're
sounded
right.
like a
So is
rat.
Becky Lynch's. So
Oh, yeah. There, so, sometimes you can't blame Def Rebel.
no.
Sometimes.
No, Becky, it doesn't scream star at all. It's just a song. You know? Like, okay, and it's not a particularly good one either.
And maybe that's the problem, is that there's a difference between someone's theme music and a song. Because I think I remember the one guy in the parking garage just playing the old WWE themes, and it's just like there's
Yes.
I did get a kick out of it, but they also have kind of the short, like you want to be short, somewhat repeatable, like that. The Becky Lynch one, just you said it. It sounds like a song.
Yeah. Or her
It's
old
just
one.
like,
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
yeah. Well, you got well, and you have a big entrance for that, Richmond.
Yes.
Whoa,
Yeah, it's a
and like you're,
crash and it kicks in. You're like, that's Becky Lynch.
yeah.
Yeah,
There,
yes.
there, there's just nothing. There is no signifier in that song that it's this person,
Yeah.
and it's the same thing with the hook music. Like it's just. You can keep on playing that all you want. It's not going to sink into me that that's Hook,
Yeah.
or it's not going to get me pumped that it's Hook.
It's not possible at all. Like Darby Allin's song, I can't remember who it's by. That song fits him because it's the guy can't sing very well. It's just an ugly sounding song. And that's how Darby wrestles. It fits him. It fits the persona, it fits the personality. And yeah, where Hook is supposed to be a badass, right?
Yep.
And he's got some Swedish guy basically yodeling while he, I mean, it's, you know.
I thought it sounded like a Rat
Oh,
Pack song,
hello,
honestly.
girls. Oh, no, I just listened to it. It's sort of like that, but he's got like that heavy accent and it doesn't make sense. It's like you come out with some lederhosen and a little hat or something, or what's that goddamn thing from the Ricola commercials? The horn?
Oh, I don't know what the name of the horn is.
Sousaphone? No.
No, that's what they play at Ohio State, sir. To dot
Oh,
the I.
I can't wait till they get run Saturday. That's going to be a lot of fun. Did you realize Ohio State's defensive coordinator? Do you know who it is?
Yeah, they brought Patricia, didn't they? As long
That
as he's not,
colossal failure is the defensive coordinator.
long as he's not the head coach, that's that
He ain't a good
matters.
defensive coordinator either. When he, all
Oh, that's
right,
right. He
he
was the.
sucked at the Patriots. He still got a job. The Patriots were giving up 30 points a game. They just happened to have Tom Brady. And like, oh, he's a defensive genius. In what way would that be? Let's just get off the field quick so Tom can get back on the field. Like, shut up. I couldn't believe that. I forgot even what I was going to look up, so I don't care. Whatever. So there were other. Oh, we did see. All right, we
Well,
had a.
no, we were talking about bad music, and I don't know what exactly within that
Yeah,
made you want to
but
look something up.
we do need to. All right, I do want to talk about the good though. Seeing Hangman Page and Kenny Omega back together like that was pretty cool. It's been a long time.
Oh.
So that was cool. I liked the MJF interview backstage. It was like, he wasn't going
Oh.
to be there, but you had him on TV.
Yep.
But the king of interviews this week was still Mark Briscoe. I just enjoy that guy. And the fact that he had his ninth kid, I think it's his ninth kid or something like that.
the number is nearing double digits.
And the fact he's like, I got me a new one. And then he, I'm guessing it's his wife. I'm guessing.
I assumed that his wife got the handoff there.
Yeah, he's like,
I don't know. Maybe
take the
it's
baby,
one.
take it. Like, that just cracks me up because it
Maybe
just
it's
seems
one of
like
the
that's what
other
he'd do.
children have to like babysit the new child now. So
Yeah.
like the oldest child needs to babysit the baby now.
Yeah, yes, that's what those big ass families do. That's why you keep having them. We got a farm. We got to have cheap workers. But yeah, I enjoyed that. It's one of the rare serious Mark Briscoe promos too. And I think
Oh
that's why I liked it.
yeah, I mean he's good either way. Like I mean, even before Jay died, I feel like he was really good at being serious and being funny, just depending upon when he needed to be. And he's gotten to showcase that more now that he's, I mean, didn't really have a choice. Like it would be really weird to put him in another tag team.
Yeah, but it also would be nice if he won. Can we get him some wins again? That'd be pretty nice. Because he is one of your more interesting people. He looks like a mess. He doesn't hide it. And he can do his funny promos. He can do his serious ones. And he's
Yep.
fun to watch. So, okay. And I mean, there was some good on the show, but it was just in between like some boring and weird decisions. And then we get to what I thought was the main event with Claudio and Darby.
I mean, it finished the show, so I mean, how is it not the main event?
Oh no, I'm sorry. Okay, so this is funny. I forgot I was behind on the show. And that match started, and I was like, oh, okay, here we go. I'm sorry, not this one. The six man tag match, or the trios tag match, and I'm like,
Oh,
this is, I was
yeah.
like, this is the main event again, huh? Like, damn. Because it started about 10. So I enjoyed that one too, but I'm always going to like a match with Samoa Joe, so it doesn't matter. Just.
Yeah, everyone involved is fairly good at professional
Yes.
wrestling. So I
Yeah.
mean, the only thing that I have against the Gates of Agony is they've been presenting piss poorly every turn that I've seen them.
Yes.
They both look like they're very large gentlemen who could turn me into a pretzel.
And that's why I like the idea of them going against Hurt Syndicate,
Oh.
except for what you just said. Why would I ever believe they're going to beat the Hurt Syndicate? They don't beat anybody. So,
that is the big problem. Gates of
yes.
Agony, ROH, AEW, not to be treated seriously,
Oh,
unfortunately for
yeah,
them.
but they did do one that one funny spot though. They picked up Ricochet, and as soon as it hurts him, like Bobby Lashley and Shelton showed up, they just dropped him with the fight. I enjoyed that. And yeah, the main event was good. I mean, I know I don't like people kicking out all the time, but Darby Allin's the exception because that's his character. You gotta damn near kill this guy to get a pinfall. So yeah, he's one of the exceptions. I don't mind when he kicks out of stuff because that's just what's supposed to happen with a guy that's got, that fighting spirit or that dive.
They have sold his resilience for pretty much the entire existence of AEW at this point. Like, they have been extremely consistent. They're like, yep, like his size doesn't matter, guys. Like, we know that he's always going to go for it. I mean, that man always goes for it.
He does.
That suicide dive, it was wild. I was most impressed by the pole climbing.
Yeah, I like that. I thought it was cool.
I was just like, damn, man, like you did not need any help whatsoever to climb that in short order. Good for you.
Yeah, and maybe it's my own bias. I like Darby Allin too. I like Claudio.
Oh, yeah.
But like the two of them together, like I didn't like the Javon spot. I thought that was way too reckless. But
No.
it's a Darby Allin match. I mean, that's what he does. I mean, if they remember, he like legitimately went like got thrown downstairs, which is just crazy. So.
yeah, that man is a man after my own heart. I definitely put my body in some terrible positions at a younger time in my life. So yeah, Darby Allin's like, nope, fuck it, I'm going for it here, guys. This just I'm let a rip.
Yeah, I mean, he's only
And
32. Damn.
oh man, that's he's got to be starting to feel it a little bit more than he used to, though.
You'd definitely
Yeah,
think so. But yeah,
it
but I liked it. I just
was a really
fighting,
good
fighting,
match.
fighting the whole time. And yeah, just I'm glad he's not doing too many crazy things right now. But the table thing, little too much because one, we saw a far better version at Heatwave. And I know as we haven't done lately, NXT is gonna get the shaft this week, but I think in the pantheon of world's best wrestlers, and I'm not joking, Obafemi has to be included in there. For the amount of time he's been actually wrestling, this dude rules. He's the complete package. He's been doing this, what, 3 years? 2, 3 years?
Not long.
Yeah. He hasn't had one bad match. And even in this case, he's in there with Javon Evans. He didn't have a veteran presence in there to just in case.
Oh, right.
So, this guy's a monster. I was surprised Javon lost, but then when Ricky start sorry, I was gonna say Saints first. Ricky Saints came out, I was like, oh, okay. I wouldn't be surprised if he beats Ricky Saints too. So, I mean,
Oh yeah, Ricky Saints does not need the NXT championship to move on to the next level.
yeah, no.
If he gets it, I wouldn't be shocked. I'm with you though. I don't think this is necessarily it. I don't think this is the time that he loses. Like Ricky Saints, I guess that is the one nice thing though. This is one of the few times that it's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
You
well,
know?
I thought Javon and him was interesting too, because it's like, well, is this the time? Like, I don't know. Like, they haven't mentioned anything
Yeah, I
about a
didn't.
draft, but they've been calling people up without a draft anyways, so.
Yeah, I didn't think it was Javon's time, honestly, this go round. But It also, I wouldn't have been completely surprised if he had won either.
No. Well, I will say, and it's no one's fault but whoever the agent was, I didn't like the false finish, but I enjoyed that the original referee was already waving it off as the guy was
Oh.
counting the pin. It wasn't one of those things afterwards like, oh, his foot's on the rope. Like, no, he was yelling, don't count, don't count. So.
There were, cause it, oh, cause w was that earlier in the night there on Heat Wave? I don't. Oh yeah, I do have those results pulled up.
It was a good show. That was a very good show.
Oh yeah. The opener is what I was thinking about, but we can kind of finish. Cause with the oh yeah, the counting or. The other referee having recovered enough that, yeah, there was no excuse for anyone down the line. It's just like, no, his foot was under the rope the whole time. Like it wouldn't have counted. Like, and like you said, like they were doing it like at the same time rather than like the groggy referee waking up too late. And then realizing it after the other referee had called for the end of the match.
So it's like, all right.
So, yeah, that was kind of nice because, and I guess what made me think of the opener match is that I loved the ending of that Lola Vice, Jada Parker, Kalani Jordan match because to me it was a take on the heel gets the cheap win.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Like I know that Lola did a lot of the work, but she also used Jada Parker against herself so that A, Kalani Jordan was out of the picture, and B, she could get a kind of a cheap win. I'm like, I loved, like I said, like it's just a little bit of a twist on kind of that heel win. And it worked out great.
Yes.
Because and it was one of the that was one of those matches where you knew going into it where it's just like, okay, all three of these women have had success. Who is the one to get the nod in this situation? Yeah, it looks like AAA is paying off for Miss Vice here.
Well, she also just signed a new contract too. So that helps too. So yeah, but Lola Vice has improved. We did forget one thing in AEW I just thought of. Edge and Christian and FTR. So there that happened. So anyways,
Oh, yeah, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that, I
back to
think.
NXT. But yeah. All everyone in the match, it would have been deserving, but
Oh, yeah.
it's just funny because Jada Parker just keeps losing, and then I don't know. I it's the women's division is obviously what's carrying this whole show, but I just like the pettiness. Like Jada Parker's complaining, damn it, I lost, congrats, whatever. And then Lash Legend comes in talking shit. And she immediately goes, "Didn't you just lose to Nia Jax? Like, shut your mouth!" Like, I really enjoy that stuff. Like, oh, they're smart. Like, all right, continuity. Like, good. Yes, that's
Oh
exactly
yeah,
what you should do.
no one's hiding from what's happened. And yeah, it is kind of nice when that happens.
Yeah, it
Cause
does.
oh my gosh. I because what Dark State ends up because I guess we need to just go by Heat Wave stuff because I don't know that there's a whole lot that special on NXT itself.
Well, the crowd fucking sucks. I can't stand. They got to get out of that place. They go into business for themselves all the time. They don't.
Better than the crowd from LOL for the PLE. Holy shit, was that crowd dead?
They had their moments, and like the best part
Well,
for.
it during the women's triple threat championship match, that was one of the moments they decided that they were not participating.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Also, Ash by Elegance, Dana Brooke just shows up. They don't really do anything. And then Masha Slamovich, who's very good, they didn't really do a whole lot about
And
her either.
his well, I she's been more featured than Ash by Elegance.
Yes.
Her name's been brought up more. It's been in title defense stuff. So I mean, at least the casual, I don't know how you define casual viewer of NXT may have heard of her, because at least the involvement between TNA and NXT's
Yeah.
kind of been a few months now. So, even if you pop in and out, maybe you'd heard the name.
Let's
Yeah,
not
it
forget
was.
she JC Jane beat her for the title,
Oh,
So,
yeah.
yeah. But yeah,
But yeah, Ash by Elegance just kind of popped up. You had no idea what it was. It was definitely one of those classic, like, you expected us to watch TNA also here in this situation. It's just like, this doesn't, like, we talked about how that didn't work for us in AEW. I'm not going to change my tune when it's NXT or a WWE
Right.
product.
Yeah.
It is essentially the same complaint. Like, you can't, yeah, you can't have expected me to watch the other product. I need to have it brought to me during your show.
Well, especially TNA is not easy to find. It's
And
on
that does
Access
not
TV
help
if you
at
have
all.
it, or on their app. So, yeah, but
Yep.
I like this match fine, but I love the fact at the end it was Ash by Elegance and Masha Slamovich fighting for the TNA title. And Vic Joseph's like going, "Oh my God, Lisa, look, it's two TNA wrestlers." Like, neither one of them pinned the champ. So, yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I'm glad that Dana Brooke went to the university, but I don't know. I don't think she's improved really at all. Like,
No. No.
I'm just like, okay, you're like not terrible, but I also don't really, care about you. So I mean,
Yeah. Well, just remember, it's this day and age where not terrible is not good enough. Not anymore.
well, yeah, that's why it's weird to me that she's champion.
I thought it was a weird choice too, but I don't know when Masha's contract is up. TNA's got a lot of people that are their contracts come up next year. Like a lot.
Well, yeah. That could be a behind the scenes thing that I am unfamiliar with.
Yeah, because she gets great reactions. Masha does in GCW and GCW and JCW. So,
Oh, okay.
she's a JCW champion. So, but I liked the match. It was fine. Wasn't offensive,
It
and they got the belt off JC Jane, but it's like, why did she have it in the first place? Why not just
Oh.
have this match happen and Ash just beats Masha this way? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was almost like they were laundering the belt through JC Jane.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
But yeah.
Blake Monroe defeats Jordynne
Oof.
Grace. Was not really surprised by this outcome. Jordynne Grace has eaten a whole lot of L's, though.
That's why I
The
was kind of surprised. Like, she needs a win. Nope. No.
yep. She really needs to bounce back at this point. Oof, man. Yeah, that's a tough one. Ethan Page and Chelsea Green defeated Tavion Heights and Tyra Mae Steele.
What a great match. For the wrong reasons. These two Americans are hateable. They are hateable. And like they come out like flaunting their medals and like, yeah, we're gold medalists. And it's like, cool. Remember with the other guy that did that? It was on purpose. And they leaned, like, he did it on purpose because Vince said, everyone's going to cheer for you. And they didn't. So they, corrected course and made him a bad guy. Well, that's not what they're doing here. No, you guys got booed. Do it again Tuesday. No one's booing Chelsea Green. It's very well, I guess they kind of did Tuesday, but not to the extent that what was expected. So
Yeah,
Ethan,
she's too entertaining for her own good, and
yes.
I've really I love the Ethan Page addition to that act. Just he fits right in.
He is not likable. Like, as much as Chelsea gets cheered, like, he got cheered in the match just because they didn't like the other two. But you saw what happened Tuesday, right back to him being booed again. He's very good at getting people to not like him. And credit to him, that's not that easy anymore. But he runs a risk of being of the crowd getting on his side too. Like,
Oh, at some
Chelsea
point it'll
tries,
happen.
Chelsea tries to not let him get on their side, but they just do anyways. That's who wins out nowadays. If you're entertaining, if you're a good guy and you're entertaining, or a bad guy and entertaining, crowd's gonna cheer for you. That's just how it works now. So, like, the only way Chelsea could be booed is if she starts to be a serious wrestler. No more freaking out, no more cheering. None of that stuff. Just a serious wrestler. So,
She could work into that spot at some point if she wants to. And yeah, we already talked about the main event, so do we want to call this one a night, or was there something else on NXT proper that
one thing about the main event is they lost that crowd with the goofy finish. And I think whoever the agent was knew they would, because overthrowing him through the table was immediately after. They didn't do anything else. Javon comes in, he picks him up, and that crowd's like, fuck this. We just got screwed. Oh my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I love when you see that stuff. I don't even really remember Tuesday, except it was boring. Like,
Yeah, I'm kind of running through things, and nothing
that
is
stupid blindfold match, that was stupid and
really
bizarre.
standing out for me here.
Well, Josh Briggs
Because
confronted Obafemi, right? No.
no,
No, it was
he
Ricky Saints.
confronted Ricky Saints,
Yes.
and then ended up losing for his
Yeah.
good deeds. And
Josh Briggs
then,
is a
Fatal Influence against Zaruka for and Lola Vice was
jerk.
the main event.
Yep.
So,
Oh, well, Blake Monroe lost to Kalani Jordan in the dumbest ass way possible.
oh
And again, Jordan Grace, you lost. So you're mad at her. Why? Because you got run into the turnbuckle? Like, don't put yourself in that position. Like, you know who you're dealing with. So,
yeah, it's not even one of those. It was kind of when she lost the way that she lost, it is as much as there was forethought put into it by Blake Monroe, it also happened to be just lucky happenstance that it happened.
yes. Yeah.
I think that's where the problem comes in. It's just like, okay, like, I mean, you just kind of like you caught bad luck, and that's why it does feel very sore losery.
Exactly how it comes across.
Yeah.
She's a sore loser. Okay, I'll say that again.
Yeah.
She's a sore loser. There we go.
Not gonna
Yeah.
help her cause at all.
No. It's really not. And this is the worst version of Jordan Grace I've seen in a while. This whole, I doubted myself and I used to be a fat girl and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you leaned into it. You were a thick mama pump. It got you where you are now. okay. And then she loses. She's like, no, I'm gonna make sure. I'm gonna bully her. And it's like, okay. How about she just beats the hell out of people? She's called the juggernaut for a reason. Be a goddamn juggernaut. Not this. I'm in my feels. I can't believe it. There's always an exception. Some friends don't turn on you. I thought it was my exception. Shut up. Beat her ass up and be done with it. It's a bad angle. It's a bad angle so far. The match is good though. So,
Yeah, best match on the card, one might say.
until Obafemi and Javon Evans. I'm
Yeah,
absolutely.
fair.
But it's also two pros too. So
Yeah, so yeah, touched on the thing. Yeah, whatever with Izzy Dame and Tatum Paxley beating Ren Sinclair and Kendall Gray.
yeah, it really is a whatever.
Even the Saints and Briggs matches, something of a whatever. And then, yeah, that is the main event there. So, yeah, it was a pretty
Yeah.
blah NXT here,
Now I'll be curious to see
itself
what their ratings
because,
are.
it was similar to AEW because they don't have a whole lot going on after, or because their pay-per-views are a little further apart. They don't always have a whole lot going on that, that show after a PLE.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Not completely shocked, but
No. But yeah, just I thought a
always
very
hope
weak
for
episode.
better.
Yeah, very weak episode of NXT. I'd say weaker than AEW for sure.
Bell time beer on my end. Wolf's
Yeah.
Ridge Brewing, a double barrel Dire Wolf, barrel aged Imperial Stout. This was from their anniversary party last year. I figured it was about time to get some of these out of the fridge since their anniversary is coming up again here very soon, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, two rare bourbon barrels, one beer, 14 months, and a final blend that's better than the sum of its part. Yeah, two different individual 8-year Willett family bourbon barrels and two different types of beers, along with the blend of the Imperial Stout itself. I heart and have talked about multiple Wolf's Ridge anniversary blends, and this one on the list too. Maybe not as involved as some of the other ones. I feel like some of the other ones have had like up to eight other beers blended in. Since this one's a little more focused, it has a little better, just a more Imperial Stout with bourbon barrel inspired flavor. Like it kind of sticks to the game plan a little bit more. So yeah, if you're around for their anniversary this year, head on over to Wolf's Ridge Brewing right here in Columbus, Ohio. So Bell Time Beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango. 11, he's at Granny Maze. The brand's at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like iHeartRadio and YouTube Music. Have a good night, grandkids.
That again.